In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Old Testament reading for today highlights one of the Bible's most well-known characters, Joseph, who we of course know because of his technicolor dream coat. His story is a sprawling one, covering 14 chapters in the book of Genesis. It has many highs and many lows, many characters, and many dramatic moments. We find ourselves today towards the end of Joseph's story, but I think it's important that we remember what preceded this intense scene with his brothers. When he was younger, he was the clear favorite of his father, Jacob. This favor was made manifest in the gift of a beautiful coat. The King James translation calls it a coat of many colors. The New and Beautiful translation by Robert Alter calls it an ornamented tunic. It was a clear and constant reminder to his brothers that their father loved him best of all. Joseph did not help matters. He was something of a tattletale, getting his brothers in trouble. He also was a vivid and prolific dreamer. He would share his dreams with his family, even the ones he probably should not have. He once told his family that in one of his dreams, he saw all of them bowing down to him, and he was elevated and higher than the rest of them. This all became too much for his brothers to bear, and so they conspired together to get rid of him. Outright murder was out of the question. None of them wanted their blood on his hands. Instead, they faked his death, covering his radiant coat in blood to show to their father. They sold him into slavery, thus ridding themselves of this beloved son and gloating dreamer. Their betrayal would end up sending Joseph to the land of Egypt. Joseph would eventually wind up in prison, where he continued to dream his dreams. Eventually, he is brought before Pharaoh to help interpret Pharaoh's dreams. Now, these dreams have left him troubled and in distress. Joseph listens to the dream and foretells of a great famine that will savage the land for 7 years. He not only interprets this dream, but offers a plan on how to survive this coming calamity. Impressed by his abilities, Pharaoh raises Joseph up to a high position and puts him in charge of preparation for the famine. It is then that we come to our reading for today. His brothers having been driven into Egypt by the famine in search of food. They are in desperate need. Their very lives and the lives of their family are at stake. And what do they find but the very brother who they had betrayed and robbed of his freedom? We are told that his brothers were dismayed in his presence. That seems like a bit of an understatement to me. Just try to imagine what must have been going on inside of them in that moment. Here is their brother who they sold into slavery, knowing full well that it was most likely a death sentence. The life of most Egyptian slaves were hard, a life that was spent and used up on massive building projects. Not only did they never dream that he would still be alive, but here he is, no longer a slave, but one of the most powerful men in all of Egypt. Now, in their time of great need, their brother, who they held the power of life and death over, now holds it over them. I can only imagine that their great fear, their great despair, was that Joseph would visit the same kind of evil on them. That he would take out his vengeance on them. But instead of violence, instead of hatred, instead of their freedom being stripped away, they found mercy. They found a blessing. They found tears of love. Joseph takes them in, embraced them, and provided for them so that they would not suffer, despite all that he himself had suffered at their hands, despite all they had done to him. Joseph chooses a different path. He chooses to show them something that they were unable or unwilling to show him. Love. Jesus says, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. I don't think any of us here today will ever rule a nation during a time of an epic famine. But I do believe we will all be presented with times when our enemies, those who hate us, those who curse us, those who seek to do us harm, I do believe that we will be presented with a choice: repay evil for evil or respond with love. Jesus says, do to others as you would have them do to you. I don't own any Technicolor dream coats or any coats of many colors or any ornamented tunics. I do not think there is much of anything in my wardrobe that would make people too upset. But I have said the wrong thing or done the wrong thing in another person's eyes, which has made them angry at me, made them take out that anger towards me. Now I can respond to that anger with my own. I can get caught up in a never-ending cycle of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, or I can treat them the way I wish to be treated. I can love them. Jesus says, forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you. In a very real way, the brothers of Joseph had the power of life and death in their hands. In a very real way, Joseph in turn had the power of life and death over them in his hands. In a very real way, we all hold that same power of life and death. We can choose to remain dead in sin, hoarding our possessions, harboring our suspicions, nurturing our fear, seeking out revenge to whoever has wronged us. Or we can be alive in God's love, sharing in the abundant grace we have received, rejoicing in the endless mercy that has been given to us, living into the lives God has called us to, reconciled in love with one another. We can sell one another into the death and darkness of sin, or we can embrace each other in love, exchanging a kiss of peace and sharing tears of compassion and forgiveness. God offers us a life in his love, and it is a life in which grace and mercy abound, a life in which wonders and miracles never cease. Amen.